How many have been sensing the presence of the Lord this morning? Let me just pray. Father, I want to encourage us all this morning. Just press in to the Holy Spirit. Invite him to increase the level of the anointing that's already here upon you. Father, I pray that you continue to walk amongst us this morning. I pray, Lord, the level of anointing would increase as we move forward here, talking about you, Jesus, and talking about the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for such a time as this. You've called us to be here to witness the unfolding of history in the kingdom of heaven. So, Father, thank you for your presence that's here already. Thank you for your love towards us. Thank you that you desire us all to be free, to follow you, and to be all that you've created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to be sharing from Luke 4:18 this morning, but I just want to quickly, I've had so many come up to me and ask if I would just share how I got saved. There's not time for me to share the whole story, but I'll just share from when I encountered the Lord firsthand. I shared with the group Saturday morning that my parents became born again 2 years before I did and began praying for me. How many know there's nothing more dangerous than a mom praying for a son? I was a dead man walking for a few years, and I didn't realize it, and then had friends that became born again and were praying for me. I had a set of circumstances that contributed, like a complete rupture of my right Achilles tendon. Before that happened, I had come to visit my parents shortly before Thanksgiving, and brought my bicycle. I was doing a training ride, and a 17-year-old ran a red light and broadsided me in the intersection. I damaged my left knee, shattered my wrist, and I was in a cast for over a month, and then came home right around Christmas time to see my parents, and went to play racquetball with some friends, and about the fifth game in, I fell to the ground, thought the guy behind me hit me in the back of my leg with his racket, and he said, nope, but I heard a loud pop, and I tried to walk, couldn't walk, and found out the next day from the doctor that I had completely ruptured my Achilles, my right Achilles tendon, and they told me it'd be at least a year recovery. And it was during that recovery period that I prayed one of the most dangerous prayers anyone could ever pray. God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And then I had a list of names that I told him he could not use any of these people. These were all the people I knew that had become born again. Everybody that I could think of that I knew had bit the dust, as I termed it back then. God, you can't use any of them. And my parents were included. My friends I went to high school were all on that list. And I said, so God, if you're real, you're going to have to reveal yourself to me, but you can't use any of these people. I thought I just made things very difficult for God. And it was the next morning that I was out with some friends, and my mom came out and said, Phil, the telephone's for you. I went to the phone, and there was a young lady on the other end of the phone. Here I was in my early 20s. All of this was happening, and she said, the phone's for you, Phil, go get the phone. And so I got the phone, I said, hello, and other end of the phone is a young lady, and she said, Phil, do you remember me? My name is Margaret. We went out over a year ago, and do you remember me? And I said, oh yeah, I remember you. How are you doing? She goes, I'm doing great. And she went on to share what some changes were happening in her life. And she said, the exciting thing that I'm so excited about is I gave my life to Jesus. I went, look, my list. And she said, the crazy thing is, she says, I am getting ready to move from one apartment to another one, and I'm packing my things. And I got to the bottom of my drawer, lifted up the clothing, and there was a little slip of paper, she said, and your name and phone number was on it. And she said, the funny thing is, she says, I think God, I heard the audible voice of God. He said, call him, he's finally ready. I went, oh my God. And she said, my friend and I are going to a concert tonight at Calvary Chapel, and we'd be happy to come by, pick you up, and take you with us. And so at that point, I was scared to say no. I didn't know what to expect next. So I went and heard a band by the name of Petra playing. And I was shocked because I was raised Catholic, and here I see these musicians up there playing rock and roll music. And I looked at the crowd, and here are these guys with leather vests. They're part of a motorcycle group, but they're Christian. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this? Where's the priest? Where's the nuns? This isn't the kind of Christianity I was used to. Because I said, leading up to this, here I was living in the Redondo Beach area, going out and partying every night, and everywhere I went, there were Christians coming up to me, saying, telling me about a call of God on my life, and I didn't know what that meant. All I knew was they were ruining a great buzz, coming out of the pub at 1 a.m, and they're telling me about a call of God on my life. Who wants to hear that? That was all leading up to this, and they dropped me off after that concert, and I got to the front door, opened the front door, walked in, and this may stretch some of your theological thinking, but when I walked in the front door, there was no one else home. It was like a heavy weight fell over the top of me from head onto my shoulders. So intense that my knees buckled, and I tried to get to my bedroom. I was bouncing off one side of the hallway to the other and fell into the bedroom, kicked the door shut. I was trembling from head to toe uncontrollably, and I didn't know what to do. I thought, am I going to die? I actually thought that, because I was so hot. And I was shaking from head to toe violently. All I could do was grab a pillow and cover my face, and I just began screaming, top of my lungs. It was so intense. I woke up the next morning, my blood vessels had broken in my facial area. That's how intense that experience was. And at a certain point, I just knew this has to be God. I didn't know what else it could be. And it seemed like an eternity on the floor under the weight of this presence that I had never experienced before. And what seemed like hours after hours, I tried to get up and I still could not walk. I crawled to the bed and got onto the bed and tried to go to sleep, and I couldn't go to sleep. Then I kept hearing this voice, take all your drugs. It was not, you know, a low voice. Take all your drugs and flush them down the toilet. And I thought, no way. Then it got more specific. Go to that drawer and take out every bag of marijuana and flush it down the toilet. I thought, this can't be God. He gave us plants for our enjoyment. Then it got more intense. Flush all your marijuana down the toilet. And I thought, if this is God, I'll sell it and give you 10%. I tried to negotiate. It wasn't working. And to the point, finally, I just shouted, okay! And I went and got all my pot and flushed it down the toilet. And that's when I woke up the next morning and realized I didn't want to get high anymore. And I gave my life to the Lord on the floor of my bedroom. No one there, It was the Holy Spirit all along. And I got delivered in 24 hours of over close to 10 years of getting high. I have nothing against 12-step or anything like that. And I encourage that if whatever anybody needs to get free. But that was my experience. And that was the beginnings of me walking with God. And that is how I came to Christ. That's why if God can deliver someone like me in that short amount of time, I have faith that God can deliver anybody out of any bondage they might find themselves in. And it was this childlike faith from that point on. I watched, there was a young man that was part of the early Vineyard by the name of Lonnie Frisbee, would come into the meetings. And this was a hippie-looking guy. Here's my dad, 82nd Airborne. And he's watching this guy named Lonnie Frisbee. Lonnie's wearing old army khakis, an African shirt, beads around his neck. He's got long hair, his shoes don't match, and he walks into the Vineyard Church from the back door. As soon as he walks in, demonized people are jumping up on the chairs and strange voices screaming, "Son of God, why are you here?" And he commands them to be quiet and commands the demons to leave, and they're falling to the floor, people getting free like that. It's what I witnessed coming in. And I watched him do it, and then I checked with the Word of God. Does God actually do that? I watched him walk in, and there was somebody in a wheelchair. He walks by them and then steps back and grabs them by the hand and yanks them out of the wheelchair and say, "Be healed in Jesus' name." You hear popping noises, and pretty soon they're walking. I'm watching an ordinary individual like that doing signs and wonders. I tried to imitate him. It didn't work right away. I read in the Bible that God raised people from the dead. Me and my friends went to a morgue three different times when we knew there was somebody in there and tried to raise them from the dead. It didn't work right away. But hey, I tried. But that's the way I was in my early Christian days. I thought, well, if it's in the Word of God, it's possible. That's why I'm always trying to step out and do what the world would say is impossible. But I believe God's word, and to this day, I still have that kind of heart. In fact, God has rebuked me more recently, saying, "Son, remember when you were such a risk taker? You've learned to play it safe over the years. It's time to get risky again." So that's my early Christian days, and I want to encourage you to step out in faith and see what God might do with you. The anointing you're carrying isn't just for you, it's for them. God's power flowing through you to touch others. So I've been excited to be here with you all, and I'm excited what I'm sensing God doing with this church. I heard some of the history and some of the pruning that's gone on over the years. How many know that's painful to experience, personally as well as corporately? And I know so many right here and in this church and in this region have been through incredible trials and tribulations, so to speak. But I'm here to tell you that God knows that many have been feeling like you've encountered or experienced setbacks in your personal life. But God wants me to tell you to get ready for your comeback, which is beginning today. Some of you are going to rise up and experience a comeback like never before, because God desires for you to succeed and prosper and be the person he's created you to be. And I just want to encourage you with this. Pain is a purifier. When we go through trials, it's often very painful because change is very difficult, but pain is a purifier of our motives and our agendas. We've been shaped by suffering, not by our own natural strength. And I want to declare a few things over this church individually as well as corporately. And those that have been going through trials and those that have been going through transition, so to speak, I liken it to be you're caught in the midst of a crucible. A crucible from who you've been to who you're becoming. And you're right in the middle there. And we've entered into a new year and a new decade. How many are happy 2019 is done? It was a trial. We're in the midst of a reformation. A reformation and a transition. How many know the economy is in a reformation and a transition? Churches are in the midst of reformation and transition. Individuals, homes, in the midst of reformation and transition. And it's difficult at times to go through. But a word, a scripture for us all is Habakkuk 1:5. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. It's like we were talking about, why does God speak to us so often in dreams at night while we're asleep? You can't argue with him then. You can't tell him that's not possible. He has sown it into you. Be amazed, the scripture says. You are going to be utterly amazed. And I believe this church is going to be utterly amazed at what's going to unfold in 2020. The Lord has been clearing the path and is making things new. The Lord prophetically told me 6 months ago that he's rebranding churches and he's rebranding individuals and leaders. Breaking us out of the old mold and shaping us with a new one. He's making things new. 2020, I'm saying this prophetically, 2020 is a year of great launching. If God is rebranding us as individuals with our ministries and who he's called us to be, he's doing that with churches as well. And this is why we've gone through such hardship and reshaping, where God has been helping us rewrite our values that we have for our marriages, values that we have for our ministries, values that we have for us individually, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and on and on. He's going to relaunch us into new things. New ministries will be launched. New businesses will be birthed. New systems will be created. But listen to this. It will not be for the faint of heart. God is raising a whole new wave and breed of fivefold leaders that will be part of the kingdom ecclesia that the Lord has been longing for. They will be pure in heart, walk in true power and authority on the earth. The Lord is releasing wisdom, insight, and revelation in this time so that we can be well equipped with kingdom strategy for great dominion and advancement in this next year, in this new decade that we are now in. We need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But listen to this definition, this translation of that same scripture. Shrewd in strategy, pure in motives. Shrewd in strategy, pure in motives. The Lord is causing radical kings and queens to boldly declare the word of the Lord without compromise. The trumpets will blast, the shofars will call, the jubilee anointing will be released, and the Lord will establish a new kingdom order in Cobleskill, New York, and in the earth. Finances, prosperity in all strategic areas will flow. And I declare this over you as I've been, as my wife Catherine and Melissa and my son and I have been declaring in Vermont, poverty will be broken and territories will be taken. This is a war of the kingdoms, and in the end, all the empires of the world will become the kingdom of our God. Revelation 11:15. This is the year not just to see what God is doing, but to decree what God is doing. This is the year God is calling and helping the men of God to stand up again and take their rightful place as leaders, prophets, priests, and kings of their homes and businesses. The principalities of this age will be mocking, taunting, terrorizing, and plotting wicked and evil plans to shut us up and to stomp us down, but the Lord will give us great victory in the face of all his enemies. Nothing can come against the Lord's appointed time. The Lord is raising up mouthpieces of truth, justice, and righteousness. These sons of thunder will not be muzzled. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom will go forth and prepare the way of the Lord. Does this speak to any of you? Do not worry, do not fear. The Lord is raising up many unusual and covert prophetic evangelists in this era. Your children will be saved, and they will become signs and wonders to this generation. Isaiah 8:18. How many say yes and amen to that? Many, many more entrepreneurs will be raised up and released to give glory to God in the midst of the marketplace. I believe there's some sitting here today. How many have desired to start a business? How many are ready to start one? Be brave. It's the Lord's desire. Well, why did I just release those things, that word? Hebrews 3:13. Paul instructs us to keep encouraging one another so that none of you is hardened by the lure of sin. In other words, by encouraging the body of Christ, encouraging one another, it helps keep us from the lure of sin. How many know we need that? We need encouragement daily. And we need to encourage one another. We're admonished in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, admonished to comfort yourselves together, edify one another. Paul introduces the thought that the body of Christ is built up and encouraged unto edifying of itself in love, Ephesians 4:16. In light of the word of God, we are left with no other option other than to dispense encouragement and edification to the body of Christ. That's why often the Lord will give words to build up the church, build up the body of Christ, build up the local body so we understand that God's eyes are truly upon us. Do you realize God's eyes are upon this church and upon this region? You're going to play a major part in bringing transformation to this region of New York. There's a call of God here. But it's going to be unconventional and out of the box. That is you guys, isn't it? Could I just say something in love? You're not normal. Say thank God to that. We don't want to be normal. We don't want to be a normal religious organization. Peculiar people? That's a nice way of saying you're strange people. In a good, loving way. That's what they've always said about me. Phil? Oh, he's out there. But that's okay. When I had an encounter with the Lord, what was that? That was Jesus walking into my life and introducing himself, bringing the kingdom of heaven, or as I've heard it said, the king's domain, right there into my bedroom. How many know in the midst of the king's domain, demons can't stay? Some demons became homeless that night. and it's continuing daily. What is the kingdom of God? Romans 14, 17 is a scriptural reference for you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness could be defined in this way or translated in this way in that scripture, justice. God, Jesus came and dispensed justice in my life and freed me from bondage. This says he's ready to do that right now for anyone that needs a measure of justice and freedom to come into their life. He brought justice. So justice, which released peace into my life for the first time and brought joy, but it was all done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not good enough just to release the word of God. Paul said, I preached the full gospel. He released the word, and then he demonstrated the word, which made it relevant and real. And for me, unless it was made real, I would have just assumed go back to the party world. But I experienced freedom for the first time in my life. I was tired of being in bondage. I was still getting high every single day, even though every day, every time that I did get high was started in the morning. I was hearing things, and I had a feeling somebody was watching me. So I was getting paranoid. I was looking out the windows. How many know this from addiction? I'd be driving down the road, and I'm always looking in the rearview mirror. Cops are somewhere. Somebody's following me. It was a horrible way to live. It was paranoia. Why did I keep doing it? I was in bondage. Then justice came into my life. The kingdom of heaven broke in. It transforms unrighteous sinners into saints. Luke 4:18, if you have your Bibles. When he came to Nazareth, speaking of Jesus, where he had been raised, he went into the meeting house as he always did on the Sabbath day. When Jesus came to the front to read the scriptures, they handed him a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and read where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners." This is right after Jesus came out of the wilderness. He was driven into the wilderness to be tested for 40 days and 40 nights. Then it says, Scripture says, he came out of the wilderness after 40 days in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was that Jesus that showed up in that meeting room and read this scripture from the prophet Isaiah. It says, he was hope for the poor. To the poor in the world. There's four kinds of poverty in our world: spiritual poverty, relational poverty, motivational poverty, material poverty. Why is the poor mentioned number one? It was the number one issue that God said needed to be attacked first. Systemic poverty. It's one of our number one missions as the body of Christ is to destroy systemic poverty in the world. And who was poor? When this Jesus walked into my life under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, his presence entered that room. Justice was being served against the demons that had been tormenting me for years. I was in spiritual poverty. I was in relational poverty. How many know when you're addicted, you wouldn't think twice of using people to get what you need and want? living in the shadows, hiding. I'm disgusted about it when I think about it. The relational poverty, motivational poverty. I started out at 8 years old in mixed martial arts, competing in tournaments every week. From there, I went into high school, played football, became a high school wrestler, highly decorated, was recruited into a college and wrestled in college, successful, trying to prove my worth, trying to prove that I could be successful in something. I was highly motivated to do well. Then you start getting high, you begin to lose all motivation to excel. But justice came and delivered me. Material poverty, lacking, living in lack. But Jesus said, I've come to bring hope, that there's a better way to live. And the poor of that day were despised. They were disdained, spoken of in contempt. But Jesus came to say, no, you're worth it, and I've come to set you free and bring comfort to you, to show you. You don't have to live in spiritual poverty. You don't have to live in relational poverty, motivational or material poverty. He didn't just speak to their ears, but he spoke right to their hearts and told them there's a better way, and I'm here to show it to you. Then it says that he brought freedom for the brokenhearted. Who were the brokenhearted? They were the oppressed. Their lives have been damaged by sin. Psalm 9:9, all who are oppressed may come to you as a shelter in time of trouble, a perfect hiding place. Who? The hiding place is Jesus himself, to free you from the oppression and the damage that sin has brought into your life. Then he says, I've come to be eyes for the blind, new eyes for the blind. What is he saying there? Also, he's saying there is, I've come to bring an awakening to you, to wake you up out of this spiritual death into spiritual life. John 8:12 says, I am the light to the world. For those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. Isn't it true? Once you've been awakened by the presence of God and surrendered to him, you're living in the light. And you can see the darkness. You even get near it, you can feel the darkness. And he said he's come to preach to the prisoners. Who are those prisoners? Very often they are the prisoners of war. How many know we're living in a battlefield? There is a war going on for the souls of mankind. Jesus wins. And all those that embrace him as he's come to open our eyes to the reality of where we're living and what is going on. And what did he say? He's come to bring the message of Jubilee. And could I say something prophetically? God is looking for those that are willing to be those messengers of Jubilee to this world that is looking for freedom and truth. Will you be one of those messengers that everywhere you go, you're proclaiming freedom to the prisoners, freedom to the oppressed, freedom to the brokenhearted? It's you and I. Jubilee. For the time of great acceptance, Jesus said, has begun. What does that mean? A time of great acceptance. He's saying, I'm not bringing judgment against you now. I'm bringing freedom to you now. I'm accepting you right where you're at. Isn't that crazy? He's willing to embrace us in the filth of our sinful life. He says, I'm accepting you. Come to me. because judgment will come at some point, but the time of great acceptance is now. If you are here this morning and you need to feel that embrace of acceptance, Jesus is here to hold you in his arms and say he's got a great future for you, a future of freedom, no more oppression, no more bondage, acceptance, wholehearted acceptance. Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 9, those who walked in darkness have seen a radiant light shining upon them. They once lived in the shadows of death, but now a glorious light has dawned. They lived in the shadows of death. That was me. That was you. But a great light has come to show you there's a better way. To show you there is a better way. Why is it important for this day? And I'm prophesying this because it is now, at this season that we're living in right now, we're living in an unprecedented time of acceleration. Things are moving quickly. God is doing in a day what took years in the natural. God is bringing healing and deliverance that took years, doing it in a shorter amount of time. The breakthrough that you've been longing for is happening quicker than ever before. A tidal wave of acceleration. God will position his people, which means you, into their destiny and cause the body of Christ to rise up as a victorious bride. That's what God is doing here in Cobleskill. He's going to speed things up by the power of his Holy Spirit. Why? He's getting ready to introduce the church back to the power of the Holy Spirit. There's been a powerless gospel that's been preached. The gospel's been watered down. Let's make it nice and tidy. Could I say something in the original language? BS. The gospel is always meant to be a power gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit. We don't serve a powerless God. His word is powerful. His presence is powerful. Demons can't stand to be in the midst of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be a people that are hosting his glory, his power. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The young generation don't want a powerless gospel. They don't want to just be browbeaten with scripture. They want the reality of the word of God, which is experiencing it as well. It's how Jesus got his disciples. Nathanael, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. Nathanael said, what? You're going to see the heavens open, angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Then Nathanael says, you are the Christ. And what did Jesus say? Duh. The power of God, that resurrection power is real. God is reintroducing his church to the power of the gospel. The realm of heaven invading earth. To open eyes that have been spiritually blind. To open eyes to the reality. There is a God that knows your name and knows who you are and knows where you're going. The time has come for such a time as this. How many know we need that gospel preached and released? Everything you've been through up to now, I'm saying this to myself, everything you've been through up to now has been for such a time as this. It is your fullness of time season. Your best days are ahead of you. It's about what God wants to do through you, not just for you. There's some here, I feel like this morning, that you've lost your voice. God wants to restore your voice, your witness to the lost, your message to the lost of what Jesus has done for you. I had this vision that some of you have been on this path and now you've reached a crossroads. You can go one way or the other, but right there where you're going to make a decision for a new pair of shoes for you, which means a new beginning, new opportunity. And I think some of you have been waiting for this new opportunity to come. The enemy has been after so many of you to abort your calling, to abort your voice, to abort your identity. And I shared this with the group Saturday morning. The number one crime globally is identity theft. The enemy has been trying to destroy your identity of who you are in Christ. To tell you you're an addict, you'll always be an addict. To tell you you're poor, you're always going to be poor. To tell you you have no future, Jesus says you have a future, you have an identity, you have a calling upon your life. You were created for a purpose for such a time as this. And there's new opportunity and a new beginning waiting for many of you. The battle has been over the anointing that's upon your life. Many of you have, you haven't taken ground up to now. You've been just trying to maintain ground because the warfare has been so intense. But God is saying you're entering into a season where you're going to step into a slipstream and you're going to advance into what God has called you to be and do. How many say you're ready for that? No longer are you going to know the land of lack. You're going to know the land of plenty as you begin to move forward. Proverbs 6:31 is a word for you. Out of the Passion Translation, it says this, but if he's caught, he still has to pay back what he stole sevenfold. His punishment and fine will cost him greatly. This is speaking of the enemy that's been robbing many of you. The enemy, God is going to force the enemy to pay back what he's stolen from you and your family. So, Father, we say, let that repayment come and let it come quickly. In the testing of the heart, there's a greater call to consecration and being set apart for the Lord in many different ways. There has been a great cost in the consecration, but it's their love for Jesus that has driven them, which is speaking of you. The level of holiness does not come from the place of striving, but out of a place of intimacy and love for Jesus that sees this place of holiness as the overflow. God has been working overtime for many of you, and you will find your voice again, the Lord says. You will find your voice again. You're entering into that season even now. I believe the Lord wants to minister to many of you this morning. Those of you that have felt like that I was speaking to you from Luke 4:18, speaking of spiritual poverty, relational poverty, motivational poverty, or material poverty, and you need justice to come into your life regarding some of those areas. Or maybe you're that brokenhearted individual. Because of the oppression and the damage that sin has caused, and you need to get free from that. Or maybe you're feeling a spiritual sense of blindness, that you need an awakening or an enlightenment to the reality of God in your life. I believe the Lord wants to minister to some of you this morning. And I know it's going to take a little bit of courage, but if some of you that identify with that, I want to tell you tonight, today is your day of freedom. And I want to encourage you to just come right on up, and we're going to pray over you that this would be the beginnings of a new day for your life. Any other prayer team people? It's a new day, folks. Father, we thank you for new beginnings. We thank you, Lord, that today is the day of freedom. Today is the beginnings of a chapter closing and a new one opening. So, Father, I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to come now and rest upon each one that's come forward. Father, here we are, believing your word. Yeah, just be in a place to receive right now. If you want to just, if you want to put your arms out to receive more of the Holy Spirit, just go ahead and do that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I break off the generational curse of addiction right now by the authority of the name and the blood of Jesus. We say, addiction, your day has come. Judgment and justice has come in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit of addiction in all its forms is broken right now by the authority of the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. It goes right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We say the oppression and the damage of sin is cut off right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Yep, just receive. The Spirit of the Lord's resting powerfully on many of you. We say justice, 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 in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, justice. And all that warfare over your mind, will, and emotions is broken right now in Jesus' name. 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 Thank you, Lord. All that demonic oppression goes in Jesus' name. Quietly you came, quietly you go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yep. Justice. Justice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The power of God. Power of God. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. This is your day. Freedom, 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 the very core of who you are. And we say every generational curse in the family line is broken right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of poverty, spirit of addiction goes in Jesus' name. Chapter closes. A chapter closes in this family line. And a new one opens. New beginnings. New beginnings. Yeah, just keep receiving. The power of God is all over you all. There it is. There it is. There's a powerful anointing upon you. Powerful, 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 powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, just keep receiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There it is. There's power, 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 power. Freedom, 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 freedom. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage all of you that are up here, just keep soaking in the presence. Thank you, Lord. 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 There it is. There's power all over you. Power, 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 power. Your day of justice. All that oppression that's come again and again is being broken off right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There it is. There it is. Yeah, just keep receiving. Keep receiving. Thank you, Lord. 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 There it is. Power, power. Anointing for infilling. Some of you have been feeling depleted because of this. Depleted from 2019. Come on up and get refilled with the Holy Spirit. There's a fresh anointing waiting for you. Enter into worship. Freedom is here. Encourage those that can come tonight. We're going to go a little deeper tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
heaven's gates, they swing wide. Oh, they swing wide. Sing it, church. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power. Let's be that army. There's an army rising up. Oh, he's called us to be the army rising up. Oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. They're falling off, thank you, Lord. The chains are falling, the chains are falling. You, Lord, you break every chain, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the name of Jesus, there is power in his name, in his name, in his name. He breaks every chain in his name, oh, in his name. Say the name of Jesus. You break every chain. Fear be gone. Anxiety be gone. Depression be gone. In Jesus' name. Fear be gone. Anxiety be gone. In the name of Jesus. Freedom, freedom, freedom in his name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, the chords, but we know the words. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power,
freedom in the name,
in the name of Jesus. There is power and freedom,
freedom in the name of Jesus.
In the mighty name,
break every chain,
break every chain. Thank you.
Father, hallowed be your name. Let it be hallowed here. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth.